Hello and welcome to a very frosty, icy edition of Fans of Power Podcast, episode 110. I'm Tyler Baker. Joe Amato is here with us as always. Our producer Doug is always with us in spirit. And we welcome you to another fun-filled edition discussing the greatest property that's ever been created, the greatest toy, greatest cartoon, greatest heroes and villains all exist within this one property. Fans of Power. Joe Amato.
You got it, man. Well, first I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. We have David Clark. We have Ivan. We have Tom Charlton. We have JSP. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I want to say one thing. This has nothing to do with Masters of the Universe, and I'm not sure if I don't think I showed it last week. I'm going to show my senile moments, but this is my vintage Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. Love this damn thing. This is one I had since I was a kid, and man, I couldn't get rid of this. Like, when I was a kid, like I said, I've kept it ever since. I just love the art on it. The art on it, just to me, has always been awesome. But it's, you know, I think Masters for that, you know, because Masters of the Universe, like we've always said, you know, from the toys to, you know, the card back art, the art on the boxes and stuff. I mean, what other toy line really enthralled kids like that? You know, I'm not saying Transformers had bad art. I'm not saying G.I. Joe, anything like that. But something about Masters sucked me in. And I think that's what happened when I got this shirt, because, you know, it's a shirt that's not just a printed picture of the wrestler. It's like a piece of art. And I think I wore it once or twice when I was a kid. And I was like, man, that's it. I'm never touching this thing again. And I just put it away in a drawer. And I was doing some shifting of stuff in my room. And I found, I was like, man, I got to share that with everybody. I don't know if Tyler ever seen it or everybody else. But, damn, that's a cool piece.
I was like, yeah, I can't say that I have seen that one. There was another Ultimate Warrior print that one of my brother had. And I remember somebody I went to school with had the exact same one. But that's one I have not seen before. That looks like it's a much earlier t-shirt of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I think it was. Let me see. It even has the copyright, I think, when they did it.
Oh, they 89.
It, bam, you hit it on the nose. 1989, and
yeah, that's what I thought.
They're just cool pieces, man. Because, like you said, it looks comic-like. You know, of course, the Ultimate Warrior. Always, I don't know. Maybe in my head, he connected me with He-Man in general because he looks like a.
Well, he did have his own comic book.
Yeah, he did have his own comic book, but he's like a live-action superhero anyways. But and also I wanted to say Decepticon Stormwind, he's in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. And as for Tom, no, like I said, he asked, how did I keep that in such good condition? Like I said, I just wore it once, twice, put it away in a drawer, and that was it. And I kept it ever since. So, and I don't know what Tom meant. He said Care Bears. I don't, maybe when I was talking about art for figures, I don't know, but... Well, I want to say one other thing. I think that they were showing, like, Hot Topic and some of the other stores recently. They were showing that they had in stock of those Orko, Stratos, Skeletor. I think those have been popping up lately at some of the places. Have you seen those?
Are they pops? Is that what you're saying?
I think they're the pops, yeah. They're not not the bobbleheads, not the dorbs, but the pop, you know, the ones that just kind of have the bigger heads, the small bodies.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they're out, and boy, I tell you, and hey, Jackie Miller, thank you for joining us in the chat room as well, and Miniature Snake Mountain in the back, David Clark was asking about the Miniature Snake Mountain in the background. That's my gumball bank that you see back there. That's, it was actually produced in the city I live. That's where it was actually made, but that's a cool little thing back there. It's a Snake Mountain one, but, yeah, they showed the new little pops, and the Orko one, to me, looks demented. For anybody, if you haven't seen it, you can always Google search it. But, you know, they always have usually just solid eyes. And for whatever reason, seeing just the yellow solid eyes of Orko, he looks more demented than the Skeletor and Stratos one. So, if you haven't seen it yet either, Tyler, you got to Google that. That looks deranged.
I'm going to try and do it right now as we're talking. I was going to see if I can't find it real quick.
Yeah, and I hope I'm saying that right. I think it's the pops. It should be the pop one. So if you just type in Funko Pop Orko or something like that, I think that should come up. Same thing, they had Stratos and they had Skeletor. And I think they have a 25% off sale at Hot Topic. Instead of $13 or $11, I think you can get them for like $9.57 or something.
Okay, yeah, because I'm $8 is, you know, for an immobile little figurine you just kind of sit on the shelf, that's plenty. But yeah, $13, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, hell,
I
sometimes
know
we might.
I'm at a point in my life where it's hard for me to pull the trigger on anything, that's not the classics line, or if I happen to come across it that I don't have vintage. It's just, it's just, I always feel bad for spending money anymore, and I hate that.
So you haven't been doing many of the other types of merchandise, like even those
No,
oh, go ahead.
no, I mean, not, none of the extra stuff that Super Sevens released, none of the little small dorbs or anything that's come out in the last 5, 6 years, unless it's been classic related, I haven't bought it. Just simply because I just it was just I, what money I do have, because coaches bills and I do buy artwork from Kevin Sharp and Axel a lot,
No loyal subjects? You haven't even jumped into the
I'll
loyal
just
subjects?
two of those because I could it just I felt so hard trying to justify spending $13 on a blind buy of getting, which fortunately I got Triclops and I got Evil Inn. And after you told me that the lighter ones are the females, the heavier ones are the males, it's just kind of one of those things where I feel like if I get, another one, I'm going to end up getting the same one. I don't know. It's desperately, I would love to have more. And now that I saw that Thundercats has been released in the loyal subject line, I'm like, God, I'd like to get some of those too.
Yeah, and they
It's
also the other cool things, I don't know if you've seen, were those it's every time they have a new twist to something, sometimes it takes people a second to either stomach or they still hate them, but they also have these new vinyl ones. They don't put
yeah,
an eye in it.
I've seen those too.
They're different
Okay,
because they're teeny.
I'm now looking at the Orko and Skeletor.
You see that Orko? He's pretty twisted, ain't he? Like I say, he looks more psychotic than Skeletor.
I like that Orko. It reminds me of the way Emiliano drew him in the Homecoming comic book that he did. Orko had no pupils; it was just solid eyes, which I thought was a cool way of keeping him serious.
It makes it more demented. It's like I've said before about a lot of things. I mean, you just have no pupils or there's just darkness, something freaky, but he looks creepy. But no, these vinyl figures, they're in a new style.
Stratos
They
looks
come.
cool too.
Yeah, he does. Stratos looks cool. The
Yeah.
vinyls are coming in two packs, though. There's Trapjaw and He-Man, and then let's twist it to the horror side of things. You know me, there's Freddy and there's Jason. So I had to get them, but I appreciate it for the new look. I always like something new. I mean, sometimes they
No,
might be hated.
and those look cool too. I saw the Trapjaw He-Man 2-pack at Toys R Us about a month ago. I'm like, I like that. Did I didn't have the money to get it at the time because I just turned my rent in. So, and of course, with Christmas time being up right now, I don't have money for anything else. I was lucky to get that extra thing of Hover Robot. So
That was a
it's
good
pretty
deal.
much just kind of, I'm glad people are there. There's stuff out there, and I just plus God, I'm running out of room in this place. I can't afford to buy anything else because otherwise it becomes clutter, and if it becomes
Yeah.
clutter, then it just looks awful. So,
Just think we got it easy. You know, it's as of late, we are getting a lot of different type of things, but when you compare us to some of the other properties like Transformers and Star Wars and G.I. Joe with how insane those collections could be, we have it pretty easy, but now it's starting to steamroll us a lot. And you're right, you kind of run out of room. It's like, what do I do with it? You're right, they're either just gonna be boxed and put in the closet or you might pass. But it's cool seeing it. I just like seeing that, hey, they're putting out merchandise. They're getting it back into the public eye one way or another. So you can only cross your fingers and hope for the best for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I like it too. Actually, I had to start downgrading this room a couple of weeks ago just because I can't justify keeping so much stuff in here that just it makes my apartment look smaller and smaller. So I've had to downgrade posters. I've had framed 8x10 photos and some of the He-Man stuff as well. Not a whole lot, but it just it's I kind of feel like I don't need any more stuff. And I would like to get some of those pops. I would like to get some of those vinyls. I'd like to get the little Super 7 3¼ figures because they look so cool, especially on card. I mean, hell, maybe after Christmas, I may venture down to Roanoke because FYE down there has got the Super 7 3¼ figures and some of the glasses right there in the store. So, and they're charging the exact same price as Super 7 is. So I wouldn't mind picking up a couple of those possibly, maybe after Christmas or something like that. But I also got my heart set on the quarter scale Leonardo from the live action turtle movie that NECA released too. So
Say that. Well, hey, I always say if you got the money, spend. If you got the room, more power to you. And if you don't have the room and you have the money, like I said, you can hold off and eventually, if you get the more room, you get a different house, hey, you have it there and you can display it instead of paying over insane prices on eBay years down the road, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can make room for a few pops, I guess. So I guess when they first came out, I just felt like, you know what? I don't feel like spending my money on anything else that's not classic related, because that's all I wanted was more classic figures. So that's just what I held. Had this come out during the 2002 line, I'd have been flat broke each week because I'd have been buying everything from Dorbs to Pops to vinyls to
anything that could have came. Yeah, I did the same thing when 2000X. Yeah, so
I got to watch the money, and I know not everybody has that issue, but for me personally, I'm content with what I've got. I'll keep supporting Super 7 with their classics line, and you know, of course, buying my own little adventures from Axel and Kevin. That's probably about the most I'm going to be able to do.
There you go. So. All right, well, that's our quick little rant at the beginning about that, but you know, we're gonna talk about some characters in general. We'll do a commentary later. But what's funny about this episode, it's almost going to be, I was thinking about, it's like the one-off characters. Not only on the ones that we're going to kind of talk about, you know, coming up, but even the episode we talk about later. There's a lot of one-off characters and things in that. I was like, there's a pretty cool theme now that I see it. I was like, there's a theme with a lot of one-offs. But we were going to start off, and Tyler, I'll let you go with it. We're going to kind of talk about a little comparison between Goatman, you know, from the Golden Book, just one, you know, Secret of the Dragon's Egg, and of course, Andros from New Adventures. Now, these are characters we didn't get much of besides what? Just the one-off, you know, back in the day, one-off for the Golden Book, and Andros, he was just, what, in the one episode of New Adventures? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
But they're characters of, and they're goat-type characters. Sometimes people confuse them. Sometimes people thought that Goatman was Andros and vice versa. It's like, no, these are two completely different characters, but having a goat-type race, it's a shame we couldn't have got more of them. But you go ahead, Tyler. You can start spinning with it.
Of course, Andros looks a lot more, I guess, softer because he's got the kind of goat fur on him, whereas Goatman looks like, you know, I think of Van Damme in Expendables, the symbol of the goat that he's got tattooed on his neck, the pet of Satan. Which is how Goatman looks. He looks like
a devil,
the pet of Satan. Yeah, the devil. So, I don't know when it was. People, I feel like that this is a comparison that's been thrown on social media and various websites probably for a while, where a newcomer will come to the fold and think that they found Goatman in New Adventures, and people would say, no, they're completely different characters, and it seems to be a continuous thing. Somebody not as familiar with the mythology will come in and think the same thing. And I guess just because I've always known both the characters, and when I saw Goatman, because I saw Andros and New Adventures first, and then I got the Secret of the Dragon's Egg book, I think, in fourth grade.
Oh, so you experienced them from New Adventures first, huh? You got Andros,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, because okay. That's when I found that treasure trove of the books in my elementary school library. But not once did I think that there was – hell, it never even occurred to me that there's two characters that have goat-like or ram-like features. It was just, that's Andros, this is Goatman. Yeah, and that was it. There was no, you know, like thinking Extendar and Mechanek. I'm sorry, they're completely two different characters. I did not immediately think, oh, that character's lame because he's just like that character or anything like that. Of course, as a kid, I was more fascinated with Goatman than Andros, even though I had no problem with Andros. Goatman, because of the name, Goatman.
Yeah, he says it right there.
Merman. It was just, it hit home a lot harder than Andros. And I wanted to know more about him. And I'd like to have thought of that character, even though he's depicted in the book first as being a part of the group of evil warriors. And then you see him being given commands by Beastman as if, like, does this guy, is he subservient to Beastman? Like, because he controls animals, Goatman is probably a good part animal. Does Beastman, you know, kind of bring this guy along as someone that works solely, exclusively with him? Or is it just happens to be the way that it was written that Beastman's putting command of this particular situation with all these other little wildling creature characters and just tells Goatman to attack, you know, Fisto, you know, You know that, and I as a kid, I just like, I like the idea of Goatman being his own villain, being part of the Evil Wars, that he's not Beastman's right-hand man or henchman, someone that Beastman would boss around. Not to disregard Beastman as a reputable solo bad guy, but I like the idea of like when you're always expanding the Evil Warrior ranks, and I was all about Goatman being his own. When I would write those little stories in fourth and fifth grade, I would include Goatman in the roster of villains sitting at the council table, which would have been about 20 villains sitting at that small council table. They're
A
all
big
just
table.
piled in around the hover screen. I got to make sure he's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. And Goatman was always there because of that story. And
He looked wicked. One quick thing,
hell
David
yeah.
Clark. Yeah, I was gonna say David Clark in the chat room. He said he always figured the horns were part of Andros's outfit, and I could see how almost that could
Yeah.
appear.
Yeah, I could
Yeah,
see that. Yeah.
because it does have that kind of look. And also, I think Andros had other underlings, other goat
Yeah.
people serving, like for him. But you're right, when it came to Secret of the Dragon's Egg with Beastman and Goatman, and even that guy that looks like a wolf that's kind of in the background. I mean, I like that there was new characters, like especially one name dropped. You know, Goatman was name dropped. The wolf guy wasn't, and you could say for some others. But I like that there was a new name, a new character, and it did suck that we couldn't have got more of him, because it would have been nice to see more of Goatman, because he didn't really get the shine in the book, even though, yes, he was on a few pages, maybe three. I can't remember. It was very
Well,
minimal.
he's displayed prominently. Like you can't miss him. Like he is
Right.
drawn as if like this
He's a
one-off
main
made-up
guy.
character. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't, because sometimes you're right, they just draw people sometimes in the background and maybe even a close-up of the side spot of them, but for one panel, and you don't see more. But no, Goatman was meant to be shown in that, and that's all we got. You know, it's a shame we couldn't have got him like eventually in later Golden books. It would have been cool if he could have popped up in a Filmation episode, if something could have happened, you know, year, you know, as time went on. But unfortunately, he didn't. But he did have that wicked look, and it just, like I said, it's a new type of warrior. And then when New Adventures came and we seen Andros, see, for me, I wasn't fortunate enough like you to ever see New Adventures when I was a kid. I say the story a million times. For whatever reason, it just wasn't aired where I was at. Or if it was, maybe it was an early time, too early when I was sleeping. So I didn't get to experience New Adventures until it came on DVD. And then when it came on DVD and then I seen that guy, you know, of course, I never said, "Hey, there's Goatman," because you're right. I've heard a lot of people, when they've seen the classics Goatman figure, they said, "Hey, that's that guy from New Adventures." I was like, "No, that's not the man.
Ugh.
It's that goat guy." I was like, and then that's when I was, "Oh no!" I said, "That guy's name is Andros," and I was like, "But they look completely different. One's red faced and just, I mean, there's no
Well,
real
not to
similar."
mention, Goatman has beast-like features. Like his face looks animal-like, whereas Andros looks human.
Human, yeah, you're right. And it's almost like what David Clark said, just human, but maybe an outfit, even though I'm sure those were part of his horns, but he looks soft. It's like I said, with a lot of things sometimes with New Adventures, everything did seem a little softer in general. So, no, you're right. Andros just has human features to him. Goatman has a beast-like look, and Goatman looks like he would really get into you. And David Clark said that the bio, he said, Goatman has a depressing classics bio. I'll be honest, David Clark.
Amongst all the other depressing classic bios there.
I never read it. I don't even know what kind of story. Do you have his bio by you, Tyler? I've never
Hell
known.
no, I threw that piece of shit away the minute I got it.
I never knew. Well, I guess it must be bad then. So I don't know what kind of story they wrote for him,
I
because.
wasn't gonna buy anything that was written during Mr. Knightley's run, because no, I'm not buying into any of that crap, so I just took it as he's a completely mysterious character, and I didn't want to find out that his real name was Gary, from the house of Ramdor or some sort of nonsense like that, and that he
Wait a
used to
second,
work at the local tavern or something like
did you
that.
say Ramdor to like play on Randor? Did you say
Yeah,
Ramdor?
just some sort of goofy ass explanation, trying to be cute and clever and witty and say, oh yeah, by the way, he killed off a She-Ra character just to say, oh yeah, he's a badass, he killed off She-Ra. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even think I read it one time, because I really did. I got to a point where I'm like, don't care. Tear out the figure, throw that box in the incinerator, and just pretend like it never happened. I didn't read. I think I read Lizard Man's just, and I don't know why I did it, because I knew it was gonna piss me off, and it did,
It
amongst
did.
all the others. And I don't. I even though I got my favorite. I got Cyclone, Lizard Man, Moss Man, and Clamshell all carded here. I have not once gone back to look at those bios because I those are my treasured heroic warriors. And in my mind, I'm kind of working on, you know, I'm already working on the Clamshell story myself already for the mini comics. So I have no regard for anything that was done on this planet because it's just I don't need to go into another rant. I've done it millions of times.
I was just going to say, fans.
We're talking about Goatman and Andrus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to tell fans, I was like, if you never experienced this, I mean, I've done it before too. I'm just, you know, sometimes I try to be cool, but I was Tyler,
stop myself because I've ripped a new movie. I've ripped the classic bios, God knows how many times. I've ripped King Grayskull. I'm sure some people are just like, dude, we get it. You hate that, and you hate this too. So
he ripped up a Thundercats crossover comic with Masters. He burned one. So that, yeah, Tyler would kind of flip. So yeah, I guess we'll just have you relax. We'll have you calm down and everything. David Clark says it's fun to make your own bios. He said the Ultimate bios are way better than the other ones. I haven't seen those because I don't have Ultimates either, but. Yeah,
those are written by much more reputable people. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, yeah, I haven't read, well, like I said, I just don't have the figures, never read them. But, yeah, I mean, there's always a love-hate between, you know, the old bios that, you know, we had with classics.
love, hate. Yeah, I love to hate them. That's about
the No, I mean, hey, you do come across, there are the fans that do enjoy them. I enjoy the
But favorite. I often wonder, are they fans that are not familiar with the cartoon and the comics and many comics and the various storybooks and the traditional canon? Are they just completely unaware of all this stuff? They like the toy line and they come across this and they see, you know, the bio for Prince Adam, all this Technovest BS and new power swords and all this other crap, and that the hero from the proposed toilet that never made it was killed off by a techno virus, you know, just the silly, stupid nonsense. And I don't want someone who's completely, you know, innocent and their brain is essentially a virgin to all this great, wonderful information, and then it just gets drilled good and deep and hard with all this classic nonsense, and now they're walking around with a cherry pop thinking that Hero was killed by a techno virus. He-Man uses a techno vest. And Hordak is really, you know, Evelyn's, surrogate father. And Skeletor knocked up the sorceress. And it's really Teela's father. And, you know, just all this other garbage that's thrown into those things. And people are walking around spouting that as if that's the true gospel.
Cats and dogs.
I don't want good, pure-minded He-Man fans to be corrupted by that nonsense. That's my biggest problem with this stuff. For it to be disregarded as if, like, if you don't like it, you don't have to read it, people. It's like, you don't get it. There's nothing else going on right now. And people are thinking, oh, this must be the truth. They're treating it as if, like, this is the Bible for He-Man mythology. And it's not.
There you go. I felt like I was seeing a Ghostbusters moment where you're like, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
I know, that's what you said. Enough, I get the point.
Yeah, exactly. Just calm down. Well, I did want to say, Tom Charlton in the chat room did say, he said, I'm familiar with the traditional canons, and he says, I like the bios. He says, I think they're fun and weird. So, I mean, hell, like you said, everybody can enjoy
more
things.
Power to you then, Tom.
No, there you go. And David Clark says, didn't Skeletor make Teela in the mini comics? Oh, well, yeah, I guess, you know, what, the Tale of Teela or something? Or that was.
Yeah, but I think the vast majority of fans who have stayed in the fold that has never been used as a legitimate source. And hell, even I don't think, even while he's pretending to have something to do with the movie, David Goyer and all of his great wisdom is not going to go and just pick that one particular story and use that as the format to write his hack of a script for, you know, a He-Man movie and have that be Teela's backstory.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you said, there's plenty of different ones. Real quick, just want to say hello to Christopher Dahlberg. He's in the chat room as well. Thank you for joining us. No, I wanted to say, like, you know, there was even another little side story, like you said, when just bringing up Teela real quick. What I like is, you know, sometimes just seeing weird, interesting, different types of things that you've seen some in the, you know, vintage stories, like, there was one of the stories that was one of the golden ones where it was when that crazy, I told you, the masquerade faker, you know, remember the story? I thought that was going to be story of the world. Still interesting, but the sorceress, as we see her in Filmation, she sends out Zoar. and Zoar is separate from her. And Zoar doesn't look like the vintage toy with the rocket, you know, boosters or the helmet or anything. It looks like Zoar from the cartoon. So I found that kind of unique that they did that, that they have the sorceress, but also they had Zoar as a separate form. So it's kind of cool and bizarre sometimes the vintage stuff you see in some of these stories that, you know, how they twist every little bit of canon, like maybe a little bit of something here, a little bit of something there, and mix it all together, you know?
But I kind of felt like that's because everybody that was licensing this property for coloring books and storybooks and comic books, they weren't given direction on who was who and what was what. So they pretty much, that's why you see so many odd stories with Faker and Teela and Zoar and Screech, because there was no consistency. So that, I think it's charming. I think it's interesting. Do I hold that as canon? No. You know, unfortunately, you know, characters like Faker were not given a great source of canon, so to speak.
That doesn't it's a shame. Yeah, a lot of
it's a shame. And the same thing was, I mean, Zoar, I like the idea of Zoar and the sorceress being the same, and not necessarily making Zoar the Falcon be a friend to the sorceress that she would send a message to He-Man or something like that. I like the idea of confining her to the castle, and the only way she could leave is in her bird form, which helps keep her disguise. And I like that. That's smart writing.
No, it is. It is. And like you said, when we see some of these stories from the past, you're right. I'm sure that a lot of the people that were told, you know, to do these stories, they might have been given multiple canons or maybe weren't quite sure. But you're right. That's why sometimes you get these kind of like really mixed up versions of stories, which are interesting and fun. But, you know, like you said, you can have some people absolutely love it, hate it, think it's silly, or wonder why does some, like, you know, like when you've seen some of those, you know, giant paintings or some of the posters or art that they had that I think R.L. Allen was doing. He had some that had fans wondering what's going on, like the one where it's the giant puzzle and you see Manny Faces on top of Castle Grayskull shooting that cannon at Zodak, I believe. And then you also see the sorceress as Filmation sorceress. So you're like seeing, you know, because some people say, oh, well, maybe that was supposed to be before it was Filmation. I was like, no, but we got Filmation elements. We got, you know, stuff that are pre-Filmation. It's so bizarre, but I think that's, like you said, that's what makes Masters so fun of digging into at least some of the stuff from the past is just so many interesting little bits of origins, twists, and things that you can always discover. Something you might not have known, and when you see it, you're like, damn, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it's still cool to see something different.
Just got a message from David Clark saying that Faker had a good Ultimate Bio too, so I'll take your word for it, but I was not able to pick up those Ultimate Bios. However, I love the card art and the little mini comic action that was thrown in there. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind giving the new ones, the new batch of bios. I will give that a shot. So, I'll take your word for that too. But
yeah, have to see them. Yeah,
yeah. But the touch on what Joe was saying, just like when Stratus is depicted as an evil warrior in He-Man and the Power Sword, when he's standing right there with the evil warriors, and how Zodak was going to be a villain, and he was depicted in one of your Ladybird books as one of Skeletor's minions.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know, which, I mean, that's all. I'm sure someone will say, why is that different as opposed to what the classic bios did? And I felt like, well, the original run the classic bios had done was they were making up more stuff, as opposed to using what has already been established, whereas with back then, Mattel still hadn't figured out everything, which is why Zodak and Stratos are seen on different sides and various things like that. You know, we're talking over 30 years later. You ought to have a good idea of where these characters have come from. If you're trying to combine MYP and Filmation and mini-comic, that's one thing, but you don't need to come up with something like a techno-virus to be the source of why, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in some documentation in Mattel's vaults for the Powers of Grayskull line, they were going to decide, you know, Technovirus was going to be a thread that constantly is weaved throughout this new storyline. And if it did, I will swallow my pride and say, I apologize. I would still think it sucks.
Don't worry, it didn't. You know it didn't. So yeah, you don't have
saying,
to. Ever...
I'm just saying, if somebody were to pull up documentation that I'm saying I'm man enough, he man enough to admit that I was wrong, but I'm not going to deny that it still sucks. But that's what I'm saying is that the whole techno virus thing, the techno vest, new power source, all this other nonsense that's thrown into these bios, it's just, dude. Why did you have to do that? You got almost an entire decade, over a decade, from 82 into the early 90s, and then MYP of He-Man and She-Ra mythology to weave stories and kind of essentially create a backstory for Mechanic, which is touched on Infomation. You can branch out that he's buddies with Buzz Off and stuff like that. You don't need to go in there and say that Mechanic had a technovirus infected in his neck. And so Maninoff decided to concoct this periscope extending mechanical piece in his body to save the man's life, or some nonsense like that.
Basically, the compendium book, I don't have it, but I've obviously seen, internet searches for you, so you see things. But obviously the compendium book, it proves, what we're just saying is, of course, there's shows stuff that's, happened recently also. But when you look at the amount of stuff from the past, from all the different countries, from the UK, other countries, the United States, all the different types of things, from golden books to the Filmation cartoon to anything, Star, Marvel, comics, whatever.
Yeah.
You can see, yes, we had a plethora of information in history right there in front of you that could have been used. And yes, I can understand that, they wanted to try to do new things to add upon it. But I didn't think that, honestly, with some things it's needed. But I mean, they tried their spin and a lot of fans hated it. And as we know, some fans love it too. I mean, Tom likes it. A lot of people probably liked it. But you're right. I just think with all the rich history, it would have maybe not as angered people as much, because seeing such vast and drastic changes on some things, like why did this have to happen? It's just, that's what sometimes it might turn somebody, when you see something
vast. Plus, when she were, in those little pissant, small comics that were released digitally, when the first one hit Sir Laser-a-Lot. And
why'd you bring that up?
Oh God, yeah. And She-Ra fans were pissed off. That, I think was it Flutterina got killed in one of those issues.
I honestly can't remember which thing she got killed in. If it was one of those digitals or what it was.
I thought it was one of those digitals, because I remember people were up in arms about that. I'm like, And I don't think it was any of those god awful DC books too, but
I really can't remember, because I downloaded at the time, download them all. And I guess I could go to my Comixology.
Hey, don't burn your brain with that.
He's like, don't do it, DJ. Yeah, because every time I read one, I was like, okay, that was bad. Oh, this got worse. And just, they were just wretched. But
hey, look, and that's saying something. Joe likes to apologize or defend everything. He is the public defender of everything that I find indignant in Master of the Universe. And if Joe is saying he didn't think it was good, that's saying something. I may be too picky for the average He-Man fan. Joe is not. So if he's saying it's negative, that goes a long way in my book.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, those were pretty painful, but I guess for the majority of fans, thankfully and hopefully they never experienced those download digital comics, because, they knew nothing of them. And now that they, newer fans that are coming around or re-experiencing the line or buying things, in physical format, they hopefully will never know that until we just spoke of it. Now they might think, oh, dear God, let me check out this Comixology stuff. And I apologize.
And people who are in the chat room listening to this too, I'm not trying to disparage people for liking these. If you like Sir Laser-a-Lot, if you like Spectre, if you liked Technovirus and Technovest, if you like this and you like that, that's fine. It's perfectly fine. I say that wholeheartedly. I'm just saying, I felt like there were so many great things done in this property that has been done right. I find it fascinating to hear things about, like, Anti-Attorney He-Man, from the German audio place, to Snout Spouse Origin in the UK magazines, to
Rio Blast had stuff in the UK,
Rio Blast, I'm drawing a blank here. Anyway,
okay.
That there are variations of stuff, which I think that's great, but I felt like in this day and age, and that's what I feel like a new movie's going to do. They're going to reinvent a lot of things that we have come to expect and love and appreciate just for the sake of some of the stuff's silly. I'm going to put my own spin on it, and people will love me for it.
I'll tell you what, Tyler, the thing that I guess got me the most, and again, if people like it, it's great, but it was the amount of death, because I'm seeing it in the chat room. Everybody's asking about, you know, like, did Vermin get killed, and how about Mermista, or Flood Arena, I'm sorry. But and then you see the rest of them, they're straddled. It just, okay, to kill and do all this death is not making the story any more adult or enticing. I mean, you know, just good storytelling could be adult-like and enticing, but look at all the stuff that we had back in the day. We didn't have all this death. And was it bad? Did you say, God, I hate reading these golden books. I hate watching Filmation. I hate reading all these other Star Comics, DC. You loved them, and it was good. They just, like I said, they're supposed to be eternal. That's what makes comics and cartoons great, is they don't age like human beings that, you know, we have a time and we're gone. They can be forever, eternal, endless. And to see all these people get knocked off one after another, it's like, this isn't making me enjoy it. No, this isn't me thinking, hey, I'm looking and I'm reading an adult He-Man comic now because there's death. No, just tell a good-ass story. Death does not make it adult. Just trust me, it does not. I mean, just a good story. And yes, you can have a tone that feels more adult, whatever the hell that means, but this death isn't helping. I just couldn't stand that everybody's getting whacked off one after another. It's like, God, just kill them all. Blow up Eternia, blow up Etheria, kill them all, and then just end the series. And if that's the way you're going, it's like, I don't get it. I don't get the point. I'm not, you know, like I said, a death, it can be done. If done proper, can be dramatic and impactful and really hit you here. But when it's just basically cannon fodder, like they're turning the great masters and the evil warriors and anybody else that we can think of into, in my opinion, background cannon fodder, like they're being blown, like horde troopers. They're meant to just be destroyed, you know? They can be destroyed, but it's like living ones, these living beings. I don't know. That's just me. I think they just went.
Well, if you're going to have death, it needs to be the Royal Guards, you know? The nameless background characters that you see running around defending the palace and this and that. But even that, you know, you can mention it, you can kind of show a little bit of it, but for. You know, and I can understand a lot of He-Man fans are quite put off by, you know, seeing, you know, I don't want to see Bozoff die. I don't want to see Webstore get killed. I don't want to see Leech get impaled. I don't want to see any of these characters. I want to see them get the hell bit knocked out of them.
Sure.
Because that's what we picture. That's what we could not get in Filmation. We got touches of that in MYP. That's what I want to see. But no, I don't want to see Clawful and Jitsu get killed. You know, and I don't want to see the sorceress get killed just for art, you know, shock value in a really, you know, lame ass DC comic.
Yeah,
it serves no purpose, and it's just pointless trying to put yourself over. Oh, look what we did! We killed the sorceress. Oh, how ballsy of you!
Enrages people. That's what it does. It enrages more than
it enrages people. It's especially when you're starting out and you're trying to reestablish a new comic book mythology, and the first coming right out of the gate is we kill one of the most beloved and prestigious characters in this mythology off, like you don't see it, it's just told to you. And I think I can't remember if you've seen like her headdress or something. Hell, I don't remember. It was such a dumbass comic.
Yeah, I try to ignore it. But, you know, pretty much people in the chat room are all agreeing. You know, Ivan's saying he's like killing off major characters. It's become a cheap way to make a story seem edgy. Jackie Miller saying the same thing that, you know, Jackie Miller says, I agree, Joe. That's one that I like. He's like, takes me back to a more innocent time, you know, before all this crazy death. Tom Charlton saying, in the name of David Goyer movies, that He-Man breaks Beast Man's neck. Let me see. David Clark says, yep, don't turn it into Game of Thrones. Tom Charlton said he says he likes Masters more as a children's property. And David Clark, you said something that I thought of. He's like, don't kill everyone off like it's an X-Men movie. And man, did you say it right there. Oh, God. Damn, when that was happening, those X-Men movies, I really, I was like, especially it was like, you know, the kill in, you know, in the one, because
in the last stand, Professor X, Jean, and Cyclops all die in the same.
Oh, did I hate that? I was like, really? 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 And then, oh, let's try to bring them back in some cornball way. You know you pissed off the fans, so now you try to write a different movie to bring them back to satisfy them, but you've already annoyed the hell out of them, and it doesn't really give any redeeming qualities of what you just did. It's only more questions like, okay, but this happened. It's like, then your brain starts exploding because you're thinking too much and trying to figure out how did all this happen. So, yeah, just sometimes it's just too much. Last Stand, though, was horrible. Yeah, X-Men The Last Stand, God, I watched that one time. I said, I can't watch that movie again. And I would hate if that happened to Masters. Oh, let's make a movie and let's, bam, just kill off Beast Man, kill off Ram Man, just kill off these people in the movie. It's like, oh, I'd lose it. I'd lose my mind.
Oh, I have no doubt in David Goyer's hands, especially his directorial hands, that he'll do something like that, where he'll throw in a lot of unnecessary humor. Because in their in Hollywood's eyes, we got to have more jokes in a serious movie. So there'll be a lot of bad jokes, unnecessary deaths, bad CGI.
But let's say what we always say, Tyler. Let's say what we always say. Ain't gonna happen anyways, everybody. Well, trust me. It's not coming out.
What am I talking about?
Hell, it's not gonna happen. Hasn't happened in almost 16 years. It's not gonna happen in 2019 for December. So there's our good, awesome rant. See, that's how we start. We talked about some of those one-off characters. We went into an awesome rant. That's good. But now we're going to go off into something else where we're going to talk about a one-off character in his own special episode. And in this episode, there's also other one-off characters and things that I think could be cool in, let's say, toy form. That I'll just shoot one thing out. You know when it comes. So, Tyler, you tell everybody in the chat room what to do if they're new to this, what to do, and prepare for what's coming.
We are now going to start up our commentary for the Ice Age Cometh, starring the great one-shot villain, Icer. I'm using a downloaded version I got off iTunes. Unfortunately, He-Man's not available on iTunes right now anymore, I think due to issues with Classic Media. However, this episode is available on YouTube, and you can use your DVD or whatever, but I'll be starting this episode at the very beginning, right before the Filmation logo starts, so I'll count that from 3, 3, 2, 1, hit play, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, because it'll be a commentary, so fans, if you have it, you can join us as well. If you put it on, you could dual stream. And even if you don't, when you hear us talking, you're going to be hearing some of these other characters and things I think would be real cool in toy form. Plus, it's just a good episode to discuss this one-off character of Icer.
Yeah. So if you guys are ready, I'm going to count down, starting 3, 2, 1, play. I had a slight delay with mine because I'm using an old device here. The credits are rolling here. I saw this on VHS, of course.
Of course.
A 5-episode VHS I have yet to been able to track down after all these years that has Disappearing Dragons, Betrayal of Stratos, The Arena, and The Shadow of Skeletor all in this VHS. And I still to this day, next to Greatest Adventures of All, the best VHS tape experience of my life when it comes to He-Man.
And also to all the fans who might be new to the podcast and hearing about Tyler's stories, that's what you're going to hear most of the time. Anytime we're going to watch something in Filmation, you know, the Filmation episode, he's like, I remember renting this, I remember owning this, or however it was. Tyler really experienced the Filmation cartoon in a different way than a lot of people. Like, I was watching on TV, but Tyler, he was renting, he absorbed this, and that's why, like, he'll quote this, quote that, and I'm like, damn, Tyler, you know, I know some stuff, but I can't usually memorize every single one of these episodes.
But, yeah, that's right. You know the merchandise and the, you know, very niche stories. I know Filmation, many comics, the years the toys came out. I mean, we you and I both, what you don't know, I do know. What I don't know, you know, so.
Yep. And there's the obligatory item in the background. There was a tent, and then now you see right there. That's what I'm saying. Ice Raider. With Ice Raider, that's what we need in classics. I think, I mean, damn, you already have the Wind Raider. Just make that little dome, do the adjustment with the ski sleds. I think an Ice Raider would look cool as hell to have. Especially, like, you see here, Whiplash, he's wanting to get this Ice Raider for a main.
Oh, yeah. This is such a great thing for Whiplash. Like, start this episode out with him on a little mission for Skeletor doing this. I've always loved that.
And, of course, we see Phillips, one person that maybe is not everybody's favorite.
No, he wasn't mine. I hated him as a kid. I thought he was a real brat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There were some of these kids that they could do in the cartoons that they made to where you liked, like, Stanlin, but Philip, I couldn't stand him. And then, oh, you see right here, I just like that, of course, Phillips, he's gonna go try to go save the day. He's already screwed up. He doesn't look where he's going. I was like, this kid's worthless. He's a little attorney in Palace Garden training, but what are you there for?
But
Just worthless.
I as an adult, I can appreciate Phillips, story arc in this episode, that he's careless, he doesn't think, and does eventually learn responsibility comes to appreciate and needs to acknowledge he can't do things all by himself, because obviously, look what happens. He's going to get his ass kicked by Whiplash.
Yeah, and the other thing is, everybody obviously, you got to keep a close eye because you see in the background, that's the thing that you always noticed about the cartoons. I didn't know if as a kid you realized, but anytime I watch, oh, and one other thing, I always thought it was kind of cool. You seen He-Man transform, but you didn't see all of it. And Whiplash, he ain't playing around. I mean, he knocked that Philip to the
Yeah.
side with his tail like nothing. It's like, wow, you just whacked a kid. And, he's got a strong tail, but it's the background stuff. You ever notice when it had extra color, you knew something, like right there. You see that pop-up tent, you've seen it the whole time, and you knew something was coming from that tent. And of course, bam, He-Man throws Whiplash into it, blows him away. But am I the only one? Did you ever pay attention to cartoons when you've seen something with extra color, you knew something was going to be moved or used because it wasn't that flat color?
No.
I did as a kid. I always knew that, like if a rock or anything.
I just knew as I got older that was season two, there was more details and things, from backgrounds to anatomy and things like that. But I didn't notice anything like that. Of course, as we're getting ready to transition to Snake Mountain here, I thought this was cool. This Whiplash returning and just being belittled by Skeletor here. It's just a great scene.
And there, and all, this is, I'll admit, as a kid, this is one thing that got me. Skeletor always looking through his little viewer,
I love
always,
that the view screen, hover
and it's
screen, however
cool.
you want to call it. Yeah.
It is, and it was always cool, but I always thought, how has he never seen Adam transform to He-Man? I mean, because you always thought, oh, and sometimes I used to think, it's going to happen. He's going to see it. I used to, as a kid, get scared because I thought he was going to see Adam turn into He-Man. Of course, never happened. And there we go. There's
Here he
Iser.
is.
I like his weird kind of spooky, his voice.
It sounds like the wind blowing, like cold wind blowing, with that just as a kid, I'm like, gosh, he's such a prick. Because he was so evil to me as a kid, as an adult, God, he's an awesome one-shot villain.
No, I mean, and he is. I mean, he really is. And now we get back to Philip here. You seen earlier, he just won't man up. He won't admit if he screwed up or made a mistake. And of course, you see Man at Arms is trying to teach him and tell him what to do with the Ice Raider here when he has to go to the weather station. And of course, he ain't paying attention. That's
I
unfortunate.
probably wouldn't be either with Man at Arms and all of his exposition stuff, I'd probably zone out too.
You just poor Man at Arms. And that's, dang, that's terrible vision to have that thing blocking right there. He's got to probably always peek around the front of the nose of the Ice Raider. But yeah, he's got to take this thing to the weather station because, as we find out in this episode, Skeletor is obsessed with needing to get into there. That was the whole purpose of getting the Ice Raider. It can get you past this barrier and into the weather station, which controls all of Eternia's weather. So whoever does that, Skeletor would probably want to just, destroy the planet or do what he needs to have people under his bidding.
It's a good plot device because even though
It
it's
is.
done only mentioned this one episode, it's you, I believe the idea that Eternia would have a weather station that to keep this planet, which has probably got so much stuff going on from weather to magic. I mean, there's so much going on that it would make sense that a weather station is there to prevent extreme weather changes and keep things balanced, and you don't let things like global warming stuff like that happen. And of course, someone like Iser here, who's very beneficial, and I think, could really. It's a shame he wasn't used more because he comes off as a very powerful villain, a guy who controls cold, creates ice right there by just moving his hand, And I had Axel include him in an illustration. He had Iser breathing ice, like blowing like ice out of his mouth. I'm like, I can imagine him doing that.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because you'll see later on that Icer does have some more abilities, and he definitely would have been another great character to have more than just this one episode. But of course, they made it convenient with the icy area they're around. Like, where else could they take him? You wonder if he went to some of the warmer parts of Eternia, would he have melted like Frosty the Snowman? It's like, okay, unfortunately, he's probably isolated to just this area.
And a lot of these backgrounds, I mean, were used in episodes with Darksmoke, where Grandmother lives. Oh, I love that creepy ass smile. Gosh, that
Exactly.
creeped me out as a kid. And
It
this
was, it
turning
was.
into water.
Yeah, because that's what I like. It's like, this is what I mean. You see his abilities. He went down, turned into the water, and now he rises up and he's back, to, being a solid figure. And I like where he says freeze, and he enjoys
I'd
this.
be glad to.
Yep, he's got a lot of one-liners. I noticed, I'm sure you caught it, not only Icer, but there was a lot of those one-liners in this episode that I was getting a kick out of. Like even right there, he's slipping out or something. I forgot what he said. But there,
That's
yeah.
one slip too many for you, and then he's in charge now.
Yeah, so this episode again, it's full of one-liners, but it's
And
one
look,
that,
look at Man at Arms holding his mace here.
which is how many times did that even happen? It wasn't many, was it?
It was in oh, damn it.
I didn't mean to do it to you. That's okay.
No,
I don't
no, no,
want
no, 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 oh, no. Hang on a second here. The Time Corridor, written by
to. Oh,
Larry
okay.
Cotillard with Fang Man.
Also, one other thing is, earlier when you.
And one of your favorites to save Skeletor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I do love that episode. Yeah, you're right. Now, earlier you seen Prince Adam turn into He-Man and they didn't finish it. And I remember as a kid when that would happen sometimes, it used to drive me absolutely bonkers. Like, wait a second, why didn't they show the whole transformation? But of course, you usually when that happened, you then seen the full one later. It's because I think double doses of that transformation lost its impact in an episode if you've seen the full transformation twice. So doing a half one like they did earlier and then the full one, I guess it made sense. I don't know how many times that's happened in an episode either, where they showed a part of the one and then the full one, but
I forgot what episode it is. It was in a later season, later episode of season two, where they threw in at least three or four transformation sequences in it. I forget which one. James E. talking name right top of his head, but there is one in particular that features a lot, and I think it was done purposely, just because I think they were just trying to fill out the script.
yeah, because that was always to me was overkill. I do like these trolls though, because one of them, like, because you look at Orko, there was that one weird one at the top, like you'll see, he almost looks like Orko, like similar hat, but he's got this bushy beard. And those,
And
again, this
I
is.
like the name of their animals called a drat.
Yeah, and this is why I was getting at when we're talking about one-offs. I think a whole pack of them little ass trolls would be cool. And that other creature, I mean, there's just. They have so many things in this one episode. It's not just Icer. It's not just Philip. It's not just the Ice Raider. It's, I mean, they had a lot of things happening to where I think this episode is full of goodness that would translate awesome into action figures, honestly. So Super 7, yeah, definitely watch it. The Ice Age cometh. Look at this and look at these little suckers. I love a little pack of trolls. They're all different.
And what's cool is that you see this batch of ice trolls. There's also ice trolls in The Dragon's Gift. So it kind of
That are
makes you think
different.
how, yeah, they're completely different. They're larger and more human-like. But it's pretty cool to think that there are multiple types of ice trolls. And because this is a different region of Eternia, it makes sense
Yeah.
that there's a various species that live in nothing but cold environments.
No, it's never. Oh, and I like how just Battle Cat always just dismissed that one creature.
Oh yeah, just so I mean, you wouldn't expect anything else. I mean, Battle Cat kicks everyone's ass.
No, it's just always good seeing that because you think, oh, well, this big thing's coming to Battle Cat, when it comes, just bam, like nothing, like get on out of here, just behind kicking that sucker out the way into that. Oh, one quick thing, Tom Charlton, he's being a wisecracker in the chat room. He said the weather station is what causes the technovirus, and they said extreme. So that's, I guess,
He's said Tom's trying to be cute there.
hey, he's doing that for you there, Tyler. He'll do a little one shot to you, but
I
man.
meet much appreciate there, bud.
There you go. So there you go. He-Man, he's taking care of business there. He just blocked off all them trolls with that giant snowball. And there's some other things coming up. See, it's not only just the one-offs in general, but even moments and things that are different. Like what you're going to see He-Man do in a bit, in a couple of these, or I mean, a couple parts in this episode that I kind of like. I always liked when you'd see something, be like, when I used to look at this and I'd see things that you know, we're blocking him. I always thought, why don't you just dig under? And I think we've seen, you know, He-Man maybe do that once, but I always thought, just go under. The thing's in the way, but underneath, there's nothing wrong with that. And I always thought He-Man would do it a lot, but then he does something different. Like with this, he can't get through that thing. You remember, they need the Ice Raider to do it, but he uses his sword to absorb the energy. I thought that was kind of cool that his sword was absorbing the energy of that.
Oh, family. Yeah, absolutely. And
look at that pose. Is that a cool? It's almost like the by the power.
Yeah, I like this one here too. It's and plus look at how much more detailed he is.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. They're always memorable. That's what's cool of these is when you can go back and you watch any of these Filmation episodes. Some of them have these definite new poses and drawing. It wasn't always the same stock footage used over and over because we're used to seeing that so much. So when you'd see something like that, it definitely was memorable because you're like, at least for me, I don't remember him being that exact pose, do you?
Not that particular one, no. And of course, with season two, they were able to spread their wings a little bit more and step outside the basic stock footage use.
Yep.
And here's another awesome, devious power of Icer, just immediately, you can't touch the guy.
Yep, but he turns Teal into that cold-hearted woman you always say she is. Just bam, just the touch there.
Yeah, that's just kind of establishing that she truly is the Ice Princess.
You, yeah, Tyler and his disdain for Teela most of the time. Sometimes she has her redeeming qualities, but not all the time. And now Orko, he's reading one of the books and he finds out about the Catachiller. Is that what it is?
Yeah, this is just a cute little scene of him. Just I like the music. Orko's music I always found to be cute music.
Yeah,
it's just fun. He's just kind of sitting there at the Great Catachiller.
Was it Catachiller or Catachiller? I thought it was Chiller.
Catachiller.
Was it? Oh, okay, my fault. I always thought it was Catachiller, but all right, well, there you see that thing sleeping. That. Oh, wait, I know there was something else that is coming up, but there we go. I like that. Of course, you're going to see what happens here. I always thought when there's parts when somebody was frozen along with ice in general, I always thought, oh, man, if you break open that ice, isn't it going to shatter the person to pieces too? You know, that was always a thought in my head as a kid. I always thought, oh, man, if He-Man busts Teela out of that, it's going to kill her. You know, it'll shatter. Because as a kid, you didn't always know what you were going to see.
I didn't think that for once. It's like she's trapped in ice and also encased in ice, like an icy shell. So, no, I didn't think for once that He-Man was going to break her into pieces.
I was nervous.
Trying to take the fun out of everything, as only little Amado would know how to do.
Well, I always watched Friday the 13th, Halloween, and all that when I was growing up. So, hey, what do you expect? But I'm like, you know.
And yet you're trying to find logic in this, but you're not worried about logic in those movies.
Shut up. There is logic in Friday the 13th. But, all right, so here's that son of a... Well, you're going to see in a second where this thing... Yeah, Teela Popsicle. Yeah, David Clark said a Teela Popsicle. Yeah, I guess she is. And what a dork. Orko always cracked me up. He's running from the Catachiller, or killer, or whatever, and then goes right around the corner back to it. I'm like, don't you know you just came from that direction? Why didn't you just keep going the one way?
You don't get it, do you, Joe?
You just don't get it, do you, Scott? Like, but I like how when he covered Orko up like that and binded him, Orko was able to get out, I guess, you know, his little message in that little bubble.
Bubble, yeah.
Yeah, so they always try to find little clever ways of doing something different. But yeah, when He-Man shows up, He-Man's going to have like a couple one-liners. Like, you know, about, like, Orko hanging around, and he says something else to that big Catachiller, too. I didn't like that Battle Cat had to get caught that quick, though. That kind of annoyed me.
Well, it's you're trying to establish that this in a very short amount of time, is a very, you know, deadly creature. It's a dangerous creature. And admit that the fact that he can wrap up Battle Cat just like that, it's like, okay, this is not something that's so easy.
Yeah, and at least, as you'll see, Battle Cat does break out of it. And He-Man's realizing this thing is just, it's been woke up. You know, it's not really angry.
It's pissed off. It's angry. It's like me.
Yeah, it's just basically to, I guess, become a butterfly at some point or whatever. But I thought, well, I mean, if you've been trapped and you've been, Orko's reading about this thing, I never was under the impression it was ever going to evolve into a butterfly, which we never seen, but they should.
No, it's like, probably just a way of He-Man just kind of being silly about the situation. You know, this, you know, you go back to sleep, bud. You'll be a beautiful butterfly when you wake up. Just kind of poking fun at what kids at this time would be, you know, be aware of caterpillars becoming butterflies.
I think
and Philip finally shuts up here.
Yeah, I was going to think, everybody in the chat room, I think they would have loved it if they would have just seen just Philip fall down that staircase and just shatter to pieces. Like, nobody likes Philip. You're just an icy statue right now. Just get rid of him into just icy pieces to be... Oh, this is cool. Yeah. This is the part that's coming up. That you can see now that He-Man can use his sword to find and sense things. Like, see more things that you usually don't see. How many times does that happen, Tyler? Does that happen often where he can use that to be a tracking device? Like,
I thought that was cool. No. It's... And I not to just say it's okay for this episode, but I buy this idea a little bit more. I don't know why. I there's some things that I could see as a bit little kabuki-ish, as Jim Cornette would say in the wrestling business. But to kind of get an idea that okay, this guy's in the wall somehow, and
I thought it was cool, though. It was really cool how he found it.
It is cool. I don't feel like it's one of those things where, like, some people said that She-Ra sword could do pretty much anything you wanted it to, whereas He-Man's felt a little bit more restrained, so to speak. Yeah. You know, because like this didn't happen that much with the Power Sword.
So when you've seen it, and since it's out of the norm, it was definitely really memorable. It's like, wow, I didn't know that could happen. I never remembered seeing something like that. So that is what was cool, is when you'd see him do anything different with the sword. It's like, wow, I didn't know it could do that. And we've seen in comic format sometimes when, you know, he'll shoot a beam or do something weird, but that's something that didn't happen too often. And oh my god, and the one part that'll be coming up in a second that I always hated, why does Icer sound like an old man that just fell?
I never quite understood that as a kid either, but it's trying to play off the how he talks. It looks cool, but yeah, as a kid, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, because I like his spooky talk, like you said, but when he is moaning or like yelling, it's like, okay, you could have made him sound like he was at least maybe, you know, a little more younger or intimidating, not like he's a 90-year-old man that just fell down. And he literally, if you guys haven't heard that, listen to when Icer in that part, he just goes, I was like, oh my. It wasn't flattering to the character.
Yeah, I had to blame the voice director on that one for not pushing for something a little bit more serious. But yeah. Of course, Icer is still depicted as a very serious character. I mean, he's taking on Teela and Philip, and of course, He-Man's ready to end this whole debacle right now with this massive heat wave.
Yep, he's having his Frosty the Snowman moment. You better get out of there, or you're going to be done. So yeah, as Icer starts melting, he's just got to get out of there. So yeah, that's why I guess he's basically a one-off character. It's like,
he could have worked. I mean, when that episode is like Trouble in Arcadia, which is a snow-based episode, you know.
Yeah, those areas. Yeah, it would have worked to have him.
It could have worked. I mean, you could have had Clawful and Icer in that episode, which is what I think they should have done. So I feel like it still could be done. Hell, maybe me and Carson could do an Icer mini comic.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. If you guys could do that, and ever, if there's something in the future, it'd be cool to see these one-off characters like Icer, and like earlier we were talking about Goatman. If you want to bring Andros, it would just be so interesting to see more of them. And not just background stuff where you just see them hitting somebody with a club or shooting a gun. No, an actual storyline, having them talk, being involved, doing something, you know, maybe actually capturing somebody or something. But no, that was a great episode. I mean, Ice Age Cometh, it was a great episode. And it's basically, of course, there's your moment, Philip. Man, you know, stand up, admit when you're wrong, you know, all that, whatever the hell. I forgot what the story or the moral was of the story.
Yeah, you know. Responsible, learning how to be a responsible person essentially is what the lesson in this one is. But it's one of the best of season two. I mean, this episode, if I would pick five episodes, this would be in my top five of season two. Yeah, and it should have been in the top five that was picked on that DVD release, but it wasn't.
And what was the top five again on the DVD release? Because I don't remember.
I mean, Origin of the Sorceress. Okay, I'll give that one a pass. I get it. Cat and Spider was on there.
Problem with Power, probably, or something.
Problem with Power was on there, and two other episodes. None of the ones that I had voted for that one. I can't remember what the other ones were.
No, but this was it was a great episode because, and this is something that I was of course talking about certain parts, just joking. But that's how I even thought as a kid. But no, this is
just
something,
you trying to get me roused up, trying to say something.
I like doing it.
Or silly.
Just like earlier. But no, this is again nothing to where if somebody was to ever watch this episode and think, you know, like, oh, He-Man was corny. You hear that so many times. I didn't like Filmation because it was hokey, it was corny, it was goofy. It's like, not really. Look at the cartoon and you'll
No, and
see.
I believe that too, much like people who want to say the live action movie is silly because of Orko, well, that same sort of explanation, are people going by the consensus because they see it being made fun of on Family Guy, and it's, you know, or people are just, it's like the common thread, you know, people who are not in the fan community frequently. It's like that like, yeah, I remember the cartoon. Doesn't hold up too well. When's the last time you watched it?
Yeah, and you know,
I got a $5 bargain. I haven't watched it yet, but everyone says it doesn't hold up very good. And
I think it's, yeah, it's just because, I mean, like we said, with all cartoons or any type of story or anything you watch, yeah, there's some that aren't that great. There might be some stinkers in a season, but there's
of
great ones
course,
too.
yeah, and that goes with every
Exactly. So
cartoon
that's a,
series.
yeah, so, but yeah, just to like put, you know, the entire Filmation cartoon into the category of too corny, too kiddie because of a couple episodes you remember. It's like, no, go back and honestly watch some of these. You'll see a lot of very good episodes, serious stories. And this one was a good one. Like I said, look at all the one-off stuff that was in there. It was pretty much loaded. But no, so that was our commentary for the Ice Age Cometh. Like I said, that was a great episode. And again, everybody in the chat room, I'm glad you stuck around and, you know, all your comments and, you know, feedback. We really appreciate that. And but Tyler, why don't you go ahead if you got anything you want to tell the fans or something to, you know, before we wrap it up.
I'm going to give away another copy of the Leech mini comic here. If you have not picked a copy yet, I have a few more copies I'm going to give away for free on the podcast.
Now, didn't David Clark, didn't he win one? Wasn't he a
Yes,
genius? Didn't he do?
David Clark got a copy last week. He got Talent for Trouble correct, was the episode that I quoted Leech's line from. Just kind of drawing a blank this week. Hang on a second here, Joe. Joe, if you want to kind of fill in the gap while I'm trying
Yeah,
to find one
because
quick question here.
I want to congratulate Eric Amen from my trivia last week to win the three pack, you know, with Terror and Plasmar and who the hell's the other one? Terror, Plasmar, and
Lord Grasp.
Lord
Lord
Grass.
Grasp.
Thank you. And so he got my trivia. So congratulations to you on that. Also wanted to just give a thank you to Adam Gabbard out there. He sent a Christmas card and he had like a $5 Subway thing. You know, he's like, Joe, I thought you could maybe have something good to eat. I don't know if it's because I'm always talking about when I'm eating my gizzards or something real cheap. Maybe he pitied me. I didn't do that for pity, but Adam, I do appreciate that. That was real
Maybe
nice.
that's a nod to like when you were telling people, hey guys, come on guys, support He-Man, you know, Master of his classic. Eat dirt cheap. Just eat crumbs you found on the floor at work, you know? I mean, come on, guys.
Or like I was telling
You
you,
know, maybe that's what it was referencing.
yeah. And then when I was talking about eating hot sauce sandwiches just last week, I was like, "Yeah, that's what I had growing up. A lot of times, I'd just have bread. I'd have packets from Taco Bell, and I was having my kind of cheap hot sauce sandwich." But yeah, but thank you, Adam. I appreciate that, man. You did not have to do that. I don't expect anything ever from anybody like that. But that was really cool, man. I appreciate it. But go ahead.
All right, I got my trivia question here for the week. All right.
Oh, what? But I wanted to say one quick thing. Nathan Kennedy is in the chat room, and he said, "Hot dog."
Oh, Nasty Nate has joined us.
Yeah, he said, "Hot dog sandwiches." So, and Peter Lane joined us a little bit late, but thank you, Peter. But okay, go ahead. Yeah, maybe Peter or any of you guys, maybe you'll be able to win this mini comic that Tyler is going to be giving away with this trivia.
I don't think this will be a really hard one here. I'll try to come up with a harder one next week. But to win this copy of the Leech mini comic, you must post in the Fans of Power Facebook page. Do not send me the message. Post it in on the Facebook page, the Fans of Power Facebook page. I want you to name all three of the Game Master's henchmen that are featured in Pawns of the Game Master. From the four-armed character to the bug-like creature to the, you know, grizzly bear-like creature. What are their official names? They're not name-checked in the episode. They are given three official names.
So they're gonna
If
have
you
to
can
do some
find all
digging,
three
huh?
of those
They got
names,
to do some digging then, you're saying.
well, you know, it, like I said, it's maybe to me, it's not that hard.
No, I'm sure they could probably do some digging. There's probably ways to find in that. Yeah,
if you have to name all three, and they had to be the exact name because they all three have exact names. So if you can name all three, I will send you a free copy of this, free shipping. All you got to do is just post your answer, and then we get it right. Send me your address. I'll send you a copy.
All right.
So
and just
all three of the Game Master's villains.
Okay. And just to clarify for the fans who maybe didn't know that episode, just to let them know that was Filmation and not MYP, just so they did know.
Yes,
that.
This is Pawns of the Game Master from Season 1. I believe it's available on YouTube to watch as well. If you can find out all three of their names, you'll get a free copy. So I'm just curious. I guess the more I'm thinking about it, maybe it won't be as easy.
I'm sure with, like you said, a little digging, they can find it. I mean, we always put out something, and yeah, the fans seem like they know quite a bit, and I'm sure they're good at certain ways of searching. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time in 10 minutes, they might figure that out. So you never know.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say thank you also to somebody else that's been putting out some cool art. His name is Sean Scabarna on Facebook. He's been doing some really
cool... I'll be right back, Joe. Hang on.
Okay. All right. No problem. But yes, Sean Scabarna, he's been doing some really cool art, some different pieces, and a lot of different Masters of the Universe Facebook groups. So I'm sure, you know, everybody listening, if you go to some of the groups, you'll see what he's been popping up. So he's been doing really good pieces. And I told him I'd give him a shout out. And yeah, again, I did want to thank all of you that have been in the chat room. I mean, it was a blast having you on. And, you know, I hope to have you here next week, too, because just to let you know that next week will be, after that, we're going to have a little bit of a break because we're going to have, of course, Christmas coming up the following week after, you know, I mean, on the 24th, you know, you have Christmas Eve. That's when we normally record, but it's Christmas Eve. You know, we got things we'll do. And then the week after that is, of course, New Year's Eve, New Year's. So we'll have a little 2-week hiatus, but hey, we're, you know, we all take breaks now and then. So that's a little break in case you're wondering where the hell did everybody go. We're still going to be back next week, though, but after that, we'll have a little 2 weeks off.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and kind of spill the beans of what we plan on doing, at least for part of the episode. Next week, well, did you already say this?
Nope, I didn't say what we're going to do.
Okay. We're going to be doing a commentary for the Christmas special.
And that, the reason that's going to be fun is, you know, we've discussed it before, but we've never done, you know, a live commentary. And I think all of you guys being in the chat room with us, I would love to hear what you have to say during that too, because that Christmas special, it's a doozy for some people. It's what I said earlier. Some people can't stand it. But me as a kid loved watching it. Are there annoying parts? Sure. But I love that damn thing. I mean, when you put He-Man and Christmas and She-Ra all together as a kid, I mean, my God, you're freaking out. Of course you're going to love it. So that'll be a fun one next week to do a live commentary, among other things. There'll be other things we'll do as well.
Yeah, we haven't figured out what else we're going to do. But that'll be like our big Christmas send-off heading in. We figure with this one being icer and the snow and things like that, we'll do that in the Christmas special. And we'll come up with some sort of other fun topic to discuss, too. Don't think we'll probably do the cliche or He-Man Christmases and all that stuff. I mean, that's been done to death.
Yeah, but we've done that before, too, where we've done
I wasn't on that episode.
Okay, but we have done that. And, you know, of course, in the future we could, you know, again. But, no, this would be different. A live commentary among, like I said, the other things would be cool. And, yes, we might discuss Jackie Miller, that best Christmas song ever during that episode. Yeah, I guess.
No, we're not. We're not going to take time to devote and slam. It would just pretend like they're not. We're not. Well, I'll find something else. I'll talk about this, how cool it was to see Snout Spout in the episode. I'm not going to sit and devote time to talking about that wonderful song.
I'm going to sing it live for everybody. But all right, man. So, okay. Well, guys, yeah, that's it for this week. Again, thank you for joining us in the chat room, and, you know, hope to see you next week. But I'll just say what I always say. Go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I think he knows who his parents are. There's something else.
Oh, and I feel like it. Wait a second. Damn it. Okay, everybody knows I always get stumped by Tom. Oh, I'm going to hate being stumped because he's going to say I should know this. Wait a second. Was that from Batman Returns? No. Oh, damn it. What is it? Was that Batman Returns? No. What is it, Tyler? Because now I'm doubting myself. Wait. Yeah, it is
What's your
Batman
final
Returns.
answer, JoJo?
It is Batman Returns. Yeah, it is. Okay. It took me a second.
I was hoping you'd say it and then decide, oh, no, wait, no, it was Red Shoes Diary. Oh, no, wait, it was Die Hard 3 here.
Okay,
no,
I did.
Wait,
I...
Turtles in Time.
I did. I knew it. All right, it took me a second, but there, I got it. So, all right, guys.
Batman Returns.
All right, see you guys next week.
All right, later.